Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Warwickshire, a podcast talking about all things Warwickshire and the people who make a difference here.
In this edition of Let's Talk Warwickshire, we'll be asking you to share your thoughts on changes proposed to the way Warwickshire Fire and Rescue Service operates. Work has been taking place to identify how it could better use the resources it has, namely fire appliances and firefighters, in order to respond when we need them most. I'm joined by the Chief Fire Officer, Ben Brook, and Assistant Chief Fire Officer, Sally Waldron. Welcome both.
Hi. There you go.
Ben, what isn't working at the moment?
So we know that most of our incidents occur between 8 in the morning and 10 at night. When you look at actually where our fire engines are available, they're not most available during that time period. So we need to try and make sure that our fire engines are available when people in the communities of Warwickshire need us most. We also know that getting to incidents quickly matters. It's really, really important. And we have committed to our communities at the moment that we'd get to the most serious incidents involving life or property within 10 minutes. We're not achieving that standard for our communities. We currently achieve it an average of a response time of 10 minutes and 37 seconds. So we want to try and reconfigure our resources to get to incidents as quickly as we possibly can. And then finally, one of our challenges at the moment is that we have brilliant on-call firefighters. They're committed. They do a great work in Warwickshire.
And these are retained firefighters, so that's, people might call them retained.
That's right, yes. The modern language is the on-call firefighter. And our on-call firefighters work incredibly hard, but availability has been reducing significantly, and now we have very low availability of our on-call firefighters in the day when we need them most. At night, it's higher, but we don't have the same level of activity at night.
And just explain why there's such a difficulty keeping on-call firefighters.
So I think there's a number of reasons. I think society has changed. Our communities have changed. Our on-call firefighters need to be close to a station, within 5 minutes of a station, for up to 120 hours a week, with a very low pay for that. So it's a real commitment that many people just can't do in the modern society in which we work.
And just to be clear, these are trained professional firefighters who happen to give back to their community, albeit that they are paid for doing that, as well as having possibly a full-time job as well.
That's right, and that's I think another reason why we struggle with availability, certainly in the day. We know that's when we have most of our emergency incidents, but we have 17% availability of our on-call fire appliances in the day, and it's no fault of our firefighters. That's the time they're working, that's their primary employment.
And just to clarify something, you said that most of your activity takes place in the day. A lot of people would think that fires happen at night.
Yeah, so we do three different types of activities. We try and prevent fires from happening. All of our prevention work happens in the day. We protect businesses and keep businesses in business, keep employment going. Most of that activity happens in the day. And then if you look at our emergency response activity, incidents involving life and property, 89% of them happen between 8 in the morning and 10 at night.
And why is that?
I think it's because people are active, they're in travel, they're at work, so the risk of something happening in those hours is much higher because they're active and in the community. At night, things don't seem to happen so much because people aren't on the roads and they're not cooking, which cooking is one of the main causes of fire, so it doesn't happen outside of those hours as often.
So you said the ideal time target is 10 minutes, but of course Warwickshire is a rural area. Is that a fair target? Is that something you've set yourself, or is that something the government has set?
Yeah, there are no national standards for how quickly we need to get to emergency incidents. So we look at our risk in our community and we try and configure our resources to get there as quickly as we possibly can. We can't achieve a 10-minute response time across the whole of Warwickshire. It's not possible. And historically, in 2001, there were national standards of fire cover. They were 5 minutes in urban areas and 20 minutes in very rural areas. So there's always been this variety of response times depending on what the risk is in the area. So our commitment is to get to emergency incidents as quickly as we possibly can. Where they happen most frequently will be where we get there quicker. When they happen more rarely, and on very rare occasions, we will have slower attendance times in those areas. But we'll get there as quickly as we possibly can.
Okay, and talking about where your resources should be and where you'd like them to be. Sally Waldron, you're the Assistant Chief Fire Officer and you joined the Warwickshire Fire Service 3 years ago. You worked in Gloucestershire and Cornwall.
I did.
Which are also fairly rural areas as well. And you also have worked at a national level with the Home Office and the National Fire Chiefs Council, particularly around risk and prevention. How does Warwickshire compare?
I think that's a really good question. I think that the issue around on-call availability is a national issue, and I think that's really important. As Ben said earlier, it isn't about the people working that model. It's the model itself that has become unmanageable for people because they are not working or not living within 5 minutes of a fire station. And people are having to go further to work, which means rural towns are becoming more dormant in the day. So there aren't the people around that station to be able to provide availability. So Warwickshire isn't on its own. It's reflective of national trends and national issues.
So you might have a fire station that is looked after by retained on-call firefighters, but the firefighters might not be available at the time they're needed.
Yes, yep, that's what we're seeing more and more. As Ben referred to earlier, we're seeing an ongoing decreasing trend in on-call availability. So whilst people might think that there is a fire station with a fire engine and firefighters available at any instant time of day or night, actually the reality is the statistics are showing us that the station and fire appliance is not available because there aren't the right number of people to ride that appliance.
So let's look at the proposed changes which are being discussed in this consultation, from which you'd like people's input.
So as Ben's talked about, we've looked, and every fire and rescue service has to review their what they call their community risk management plan. We have to prepare for current and future risks on a cycle. So we do it every 3 years. And as part of that process, we will look at where our resources are and whether those the locations of those resources are matching demand, so our activity levels. And that's what we've gone through most recently. And it's provided some models, some proposed models or options that suggest a more effective way of mitigating the risk. So some of the changes, for example, that we're really keen to look at is how do we guarantee fire cover when we know we need it. So Ben's talked about peak demand levels or activity levels between 8 in the morning at 10 at night. Well, that's a very long shift system. It's not grey book compliant, and we would have difficulty populating that. So what we're looking at doing is breaking that shift system down from 8 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock at night. And then where needed, where our modelling has suggested, we will introduce part-time evening shifts so that we keep a number of appliances on the run, so available to match demand until 10 o'clock at night. And we can then reduce those numbers of fire appliances to match the lowering of activity levels. So that's a new introduction. What we're saying is actually, rather than having either your whole time or your on-call, what we're saying is everybody will be on the same contract. Some will be full-time and some will be on a part-time contract. And the levels, the numbers, if you like, will reflect the numbers we need to match the risk.
That seems to make perfect sense. However, with many modellings that local authorities do, how will you know where the demand is? Because you won't know when a fire's about to start, will you?
We've worked with a company called ORH, who have done a lot of modelling. They specialise in the field, so they've done a lot of work with other fire and rescue services, ambulances and police services. They've done modelling for the whole of Australia Fire and Rescue Services. What they do is look at historical demand levels. We've looked into demographics and other foreseeable future risks, and they use an algorithm to produce modelling options that can then better match the resource to where the demand is. So it's not us sitting here going, right, we've got a blank canvas and we think this appliance should go there because of this reason, or this one should be there, this one. It's not us at all. It's a specialist consultancy who has looked at our data, our risk groups, and provided suggestions on what is a better match of resources and demand.
Will it work?
It will work, because what the proposal is that we want people's thoughts, comments on, is ultimately at its heart, it guarantees fire cover. At the moment, we haven't got that guarantee outside whole-time appliances. So if we've got a major incident and we've used all our whole-time appliances, we have got no guaranteed resilience callback. So it might be that on a good day, we've got a lot of on-call fire appliances available, but it might be on a day when we've got really low and we don't know that availability until the day. So there's no ability to forward plan management of bringing in resilient crews, you know, to free up, manage fatigue. So what this model proposes at its heart is guaranteed fire cover, whether that be whole time, full time, whole time, part time, or surge teams that can be pulled back in and recalled back in, but guaranteed recall.
Of course, we've been talking about fire, but you do a lot more than that. There's floods, road traffic accidents, just to mention a few.
Yes, and the model works for all of those. So if you look at flooding, for example, many flooding incidents are protracted, so they go over a long period of time. We don't necessarily have, at the moment, a guaranteed resilience plan to be able to turn over crews. If you think of wildfires, all the hot weather that we've seen, we didn't know when we'd run out, if you like, or used up all our whole time appliances, we were having to send out text messages to on-call teams who were not on the run to ask them to put themselves back on the run. What these models propose is a guaranteed built-in system that should we be in that position again, we can press a button and we know that we will have recall guaranteed of 7 or 8 teams.
Ben, the proposed changes talk about improved response times. How will that help? Are you going to get to fires any quicker?
So we will be getting to fires quickest in the areas they happen the most. So there are some parts of Warwickshire where our response times will improve quite considerably. There'll be other parts of Warwickshire where the risk is lower, where the activity is lower, where they'll be longer. So what we are absolutely doing is saying that risk and the need across Warwickshire is different in different parts. We will put the fire cover where that need is the greatest, and that will improve response times to those fires and those other incidents as you've described. And then we'll have a level of fire cover across the whole of Warwickshire, which is appropriate for the risk that exists in those areas.
Typically, fire crews are located on one site. Are you saying that's going to change?
So we will maintain our 17 fire stations. They'll all be there. So that gives us the real flexibility like we do already. What we do on a day-to-day basis is our fire control, who are brilliant people who take and handle the calls, which people know about the 999 calls, but they also move fire engines constantly across Warwickshire to make sure we have the best possible cover. That happens today. Certainly when we have on-call appliances that aren't available in the day, or if we have an incident start, they'll move fire engines around Warwickshire to meet the risk. We'll be doing that. We'll be using all of our 17 fire stations around that. So we will still be doing that and mobilising our resources around Warwickshire.
There's been a lot of talk on social media, fears around closing some of the small fire stations, Fenny-Compton, Bidford and Polesworth. Are you going to be closing them, or if you're not, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I want to be really clear here that no fire stations are closing in Warwickshire. They will be used differently. And it's right to say that we have some of our on-call fire stations where a fire engine is not available there 92% of the time at the moment. So there's no change here around our fire engines and fire stations being used differently. Every fire station will be open. Every fire station will be used. It'll be used for prevention, protection and response. There'll be a fire engine at every location. And what we're looking to do is guarantee, as Sally has said, the level of cover in every area. So some fire stations will have an immediate turnout of a fire engine. Some will have a surge team, which will respond back when we have multiple incidents going on or a large fire. We can prepare for that as well. If we know it's going to be 40 degrees heat next week, we can prepare, bring those people in. So it gives us real flexibility, real resilience, no fire stations closing. And there will be a fire engine at every single location. They'll just be used differently.
Sally, there's always a suspicion with any kind of changes that this is about cutting costs and saving money.
Yeah, and I absolutely understand that. I've been in the fire sector a long time now. I've seen a lot of introductions of change, and that's always a real fear of people. But I would like to give some reassurances here that this isn't about cutting money. The proposal that we are publicly consulting on, I think, saves circa £14,000. So there's nothing big about this, and indeed we've put a suite of proposals together. Obviously finance has got to come into it. We don't have money trees that we can just have what we want, but what is important in this whole process is that we have a resourcing model that is fit for purpose for now and in the future, with a sustainable guaranteed model that we know we've got access to, either teams that can be recalled or a higher level of fire cover in the day and a cover at night that reflects the activity levels.
Talking of money, the proposals mention equity of pay for all firefighters. On call, retained firefighters, whatever you want to call them, don't get paid as much as whole-time firefighters, yeah. Even pro rata. So will this change?
Every firefighter, whether they're working a full-time contract or a part-time contract, will be on the same contract. So they will be on the same conditions of employment. So the payment will be pro rata. So they'll all have the same contracts of employment. Some will be on a full-time, some will be on a part-time, so payment will be pro rata, whereas before there's been two separate payment methods. So there will be equity of pay in that respect. The money for which and the finances have all been worked through by an independent financial review. We've had specialists in that area looking at it and forecasting it, and all the finances can be found in the consultation pack online.
Do you think this will encourage more people to become part-time firefighters?
I think it will open up opportunities for people who have not thought about the career previously, because the part-time shift patterns will work for some people who perhaps have, I'm thinking off the top of my head here, but caring responsibilities. So for a 6 till 10 evening shift might work for some who just wouldn't have been able to think about a full-time career before. So I'm hopeful that this will encourage more people who haven't thought about applying for the Fire and Rescue Service to apply in the future.
Okay, Sally, thank you very much. Finally, Ben, as the Chief Fire Officer for Warwickshire and as a firefighter yourself, can you guarantee these changes will not put the people of Warwickshire in danger?
Yeah, I've been in the fire service for quite a long time now, starting as a firefighter. I absolutely believe in community safety, keeping our communities as safe as we possibly can. Myself and the whole fire leadership team are trying to do everything we can to provide the best possible service to our communities. As Sally has described, this is using our current existing resources in a more effective way to get to incidents quicker. It enables us to do more prevention work, which is critical, recognising that over 95% of our activity is prevention and protection, 5%, less than 5% of our time is response. So we want to prevent fires from happening as well. So it's a key part of what we're doing here. I believe this is the best way in which we can use our resources into the future to keep Warwickshire safe. I would like to say, though, that we are open to consultation now. I want to hear and understand if there's a better way of doing it. We want to hear this because we want to get this right. We're open, we're listening. This is meaningful consultation. So please do put your consultation response in. We really are looking to provide the best possible service to the communities of Warwickshire.
And this is a 12-week consultation, so there is time for people to do that. The website ask.warwickshire.gov.uk.